الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روحي الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه الأفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، وهو العزيز الغفور. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This is the first ayats of Surah Mulk, the first surah of 29 Supara. And great virtues have been mentioned with regard to Surah Mulk, with regard to the Surah Tabarak Alladhi. It has come in the Hadith Sharif, a person who recites this every night, he will be protected from the azab in the qabr. In the qabr, the surah will come in the form of a bird and will spread its wings over that person. And from wherever side azab wants to come, due to negligence in namaz, negligence in zakat, negligence in other matters of deen, and azab wants to come, this bird will protect a person. And there is an important point that we should take note of. If a person is protected in his house, he's got security protection, but there are crooks around the house, how does he feel? Or there are snakes, etc., around the house. Or there's a fire burning, but he knows his house is fireproof, it won't reach, but still he's got anxiety. So due to our sins, we will have that anxiety in the qabr. But it is a great bonus, a great boon, that the actual adab is not going to get to you. But still, we should stay away from sin. It doesn't mean that we read, some people ask also, so if we read the surah every night, we can carry on committing all type of sin, and in the qabr then we will be protected. You will be protected. But just the thought, even the crook is not outside your house, or your enemy, or somebody who wants to make jadu on you or something. But just the thought there is somebody, that already puts you into so much of, you are perplexed and you are worried about it. What if that person has to get in? Then it is even worse. So by the barakat of the surah, a person will be protected from the actual azab. But this proves and shows the surah, this hadith shows, the azab will be around there. And just to know that the azab is around is also no small thing. Also in the hadith sharif it has come, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a surah in the Quran sharif which I desire must be in the, it's my heart's desire that it must be in the heart of every believer. The same has come for Surah Yasin also, and the same has come for Surah Tabarak Alladhi also. So it is, whoever wants to make Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam happy, so easy, learn the surah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it will make me happy, it's my heart's desire. So we should try and learn this, and then again see the great psychology of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said there is a surah of 30 ayats in the Quran, that if a person learns it, it's my heart's desire that it must be in the heart of every believer. Everyone must know it off by heart. So by referring to it as 30 ayats, 30 days in a month, just learn one ayat a day. Who of us can say that we are so weak that I can't learn even just one ayat? This is different. These are short ayats. Not like when we were studying in Mia's farm, our one friend, Maulana Musa Lorgat, very good friend of ours, we were studying together, and he was learning his sabak, and his group leader was Maulana Suleiman Pandor, who was quite jokey those days also. So Hafiz Sahab, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, asked Maulana Musa, he was a young boy at that time, how much did you learn so long, about 1 hour? He said, one ayat. Hafiz Sahab got very angry, so long, only one ayat, bring your Quran. So which ayat? It was the longest ayat of the Quran Sharif. About how much? One page, over one page, that one ayat. So these ayats are not so long, they are short ayats, very short ayats. So a person, if he learns one ayat a day, and since you're reading it every day, your front sabak will also be easy every day. And since you're reading it every day, you won't forget the back. Your door also will be done. So you are preparing yourself for the front sabak, your back door will also be getting done all the time. So may Allah give us tawfiq. Who of us make intention, inshallah, that we learn the surah Tabarakallah? Gee, those who don't know it, sir, make intention and learn it. And you see then, once you have learned it, I promise you that after Maghrib Namaz, from here to where the car is parked and you sit in the car, your surah will be done already. Today everyone got a complaint, no time, too busy. Nobody got time. So you just, if you learned it off by heart, while walking out, and it will save you from all other bakwas and layani. Otherwise, all the time we're just talking of irrelevant, unnecessary things. And in that, how many times we get involved in backbiting, in rumor mongering, in all other wrong things. And we get involved in other things. So if we learn this, we will be in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. While we are walking, we walk till the car, our surah is done already. And when we are coming for Isha, for example, if we haven't got more time, then read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. It is narrated in a hadith. A person who will read Alif Lam Mim Sajda, which is in 21 Supara, and Tabarakalladhi between Maghrib and Isha, he gets a sawab of making ibadat in Laylatul Qadr. So much of sawab. Every night you can make Laylatul Qadr. And not the whole night you stayed awake. Between Maghrib and Isha, who sleeps? Unless a person is ill or is extremely tired, he sleeps. But otherwise, nobody sleeps in that time. And just while walking to the car, while from home you're coming, and you learn your Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and you can get the sawab of one whole ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. Each one can do as ad-deen yusrun. Deen is very, very easy. And to earn this, imagine the ibadat of Laylatul Qadr. What is it? Khayrum min alf shahr. Not equal to 1,000 months, better than 1,000 months ibadat. And 1,000 months equals 83 years and 4 months. If your boss have to tell you that today, after between Maghrib and Isha, one customer is coming from Zimbabwe, from Mozambique, and he wants to buy goods during that time, if you give 7-8 minutes, 10 minutes, I'll give you the salary of 83 years and 4 months. If your salary is 10,000 rand a month, multiply that by 12, multiply that by 83, and he says, I'll give you even more. And you know that boss is a very generous boss. Who won't, that's 7-8 minutes, who won't give it? That you're going to get the salary of 83 years just by giving 7-8 minutes. Allah Ta'ala is offering. To earn deen is so easy. And then you earn such an enormous amount. And then this is a permanent earning. Dunya's earning to make the profit. Sometimes checkers or somebody advertises butter a little cheaper. People travel 20 kilometers more to go and buy the butter there. How much on petrol? petrol they are spending, how much on wear and tear, how much time is going. So we see a small outward benefit and we don't know how much more we are losing in the process. And for small profits, for small gains of dunya, people make what efforts. A laborer who works from the morning till the night in the sun, in the rain, in the cold, in the heat, how much does he get off at the end of the day, the poor laborer? Hardly gets anything. And if you did a millionth of that for deen, one subhanallah tamla'ul mizan. Just by saying subhanallah, the pan of your scale is filled with sawab for the day of qiyamah. But we don't see the benefits of deen. Dunya gives us, we are fully for dunya, for deen we don't have that. Look for dunya ke hai, ke din ke, for how long is the enjoyment of this dunya after all. And it is very superficial. Your daughter was getting married, you made a wedding of the year. Wedding of the world, you made everything. So some people might praise you and that you will feel nice. How many people will find fault in all that? And what, how many weddings they went out of the way and people found fault all the time? You become so upset that I did so much and still the people didn't praise me. They found fault in that. So this enjoyments of this dunya, it is all just superficial. And it is a dhoka, it is a deception. What is a holiday, for example, where people think that we go twice a year for holiday. We go to foreign countries for holiday. And we spend so much on our holidays. Holiday is really a ostrich act. What does an ostrich do when it sees problems? It puts his head in the ground and thinks there is no problem. So a holiday that now we're just going to relax. And all our problems, we know they are problems. But now we just forget them for 1 week. For 2 weeks, we just forget all our problems and we're just going to relax. And who can switch off that button of all the problems which you got? Even when you are relaxing there, wherever it can be, outwardly the picture will look very nice. You are relaxing by the beach and that umbrella is there and you are enjoying some juice or by the beach, etc. It's just an outward picture. It is no reality. In the real condition, which we all know is of the heart. If the heart is happy, you are in holiday in your little tent shanty. And if your heart is empty, I promise you, in the biggest mansions of this world, you are in Jahannam. Though you have, the outside picture can be so beautiful, but the worries you have got in your heart, you are in Jahannam. You have got no enjoyment. And just today one person came, prominent person, wealthy person, and how he was crying. What guna, he said, I've committed the worst guna. My house is destroyed. My family is destroyed. I see I've lost my iman also. I can't meet with anyone. I can't see anyone. This gunas and this thing that is distance ourselves from deen, we don't realize it destroys a person completely. In this dunya, it puts you in Jahannam. And if you bring deen in your life, you might not have dunya, you might not have a big mansion, but you will have what pleasure in your life. So look for dunya ke hai, ke din ke, for how long are the enjoyments of this dunya? Na kho unke wajah se, look for dunya ke hai, ke din ke, na kho jannat ke maze unke liye. Don't lose the enjoyments of Jannat for the sake of this. One common advice I give to many friends who ask and who write, temptations of guna are very, very great. And temptations of guna comes. One of our friends, very, very good friend, he drops his son for school or madrasa. And it so happened that he dropped his son and he just looked up on the balcony, there was a woman. And she just made a whole impression in his heart. Now his thoughts are just in that woman. But because he has got contact with Ahlullah, with Mashayikh, so he writes. And he asked, what is the remedy? Otherwise, commonly, if our eyes fell on a woman and she appeared nice to us, now we want to build up on that relationship. We want to make contact with her, etc. But because he has got iman, immediately he asked, what is the remedy for this? I'm going to destroy myself. My life will be destroyed in this. What must I do? And alhamdulillah, it's not difficult. The worst of which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, Nari Shahwat, the fire of lust when it overtakes the heart. Nothing makes sense to a person. No matter who explains to you, it doesn't make sense. When that fire of just little bit lust, or just you look little bit, that woman looked nice whatsoever, but you didn't, it doesn't trouble you. That's easy. You overcome that very easily. But when that fire of and shaitan brings his attacks regularly, he doesn't leave a person until mort. He won't leave any person. And it's not only the man who is in business and the man who is in dunya that shaitan attacks. Shaitan attacks every person. It can be a wali of Allah. It can be the Shaykhul Hadith. It can be the Muhtamim Sahib. It can be whoever it is. Shaitan attacks a person in this dunya. But if you have concern of your Islam and your Akhirat, your Jannat, you are worried, and you have got contact with people who can guide you, and then you'll immediately go and take remedy. What must I do? This problem of mine. And Alhamdulillah, you will be shocked yourself that for years, 40 years, 50 years, I used to just succumb to my desires. But now you just ask for treatment, and you see you get your treatment in a day, in 12 hours, in a few hours, and you are freed of all that. And the enjoyment you feel when you are freed of this desire of sin, you know, what will my wife, if she has to come to know? My children have to come to know. My friends have to come to know. I'm such a pious person outwardly, but if my friends have to come, I'm a maulana, I'm a hafiz, I'm a haji sahab, and what things that I'm doing, if they have to come to know, and you get the treatment, and you don't have that lust and desire. And another promise I make to you, the minute you make the small effort, and the ilaj for dunya, for cancer, how lot of treatment, for heart problem, how lot, for small diseases, test on test, now going to this doctor now, but for spiritual diseases, you take the right treatment, and you see no long-term efforts like this. In a short while, in a jiffy, Allah will relieve you of all this. Now your heart hasn't got that desire of that guna. You will feel so nice for yourself. You will feel so happy. So Khaja Sahib, Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Madzub Rahmatullah Ali says, that how long are the enjoyments of this dunya? Lutfe dunya ke hai, kai din ke, na kho jannat ke maze unke liye. Don't lose the enjoyments of jannat for this temporary enjoyments, superficial, artificial enjoyments of dunya. Don't lose the enjoyments of Akhirah. One treatment I was saying that I usually give our friends now, and which I use for myself also, is that when this desire of guna come, think, if I commit this guna, then my past, whatever I have earned, I'm making a hole in that bucket. Your petrol price was going up, and now you filled up 2,000 liters of petrol. And by making a guna, what you are doing? You're making a hole in the bottom. And all your petrol is going to run out. But whatever, all your earnings, your nakis of your life, you can lose them by committing that guna. So think, why must I be such a stupid fool? For how many years I'm getting up for fajr? For how many years I protect myself from this guna, that guna? Now if I'm going to commit this guna, I can lose all my earnings of the past. And what will happen to such a person? And then also think that if I commit this guna, not only the earnings of the past will be lost, my future will be destroyed, and there will be destruction for me in the future. Everything. And if I have to lose my jannat, what will be my condition? And it isn't that if you lose your jannat, you're in a neutral place. No, if you lose your jannat, and a person has to go to jahannam, hey, what will be the condition? Yeah, my dear friends, we can't take the prick of a mosquito. One mosquito at night spoils our sleep for the night. One fly spoils our rest of the day. Our rest, our comfort, that one fly spoils it. In the qabr with snakes and scorpions, in Jahannam, how will we be able to tolerate it? Be serious to ourselves for your own benefit, not for somebody else's, not to show that you are pious or to make somebody happy, but consider it for yourself. Na kho jannat ke maze unke liye, ye kya edil tu bas phir you samaj. If you did this, the stupid thing that you satisfied your nafs and your desires, and you broke the laws of Allah, your desires are base, your desires are lowly things. Allah's command is the greatest thing. You don't want to destroy your desires, and you want to break the law of Allah? Allah's one command, the world came into existence. Allah's one command, the mountains came into a... How big is not the command of Allah? You got the audacity to break Allah's command, and your desires of your nafs are nothing whatsoever. And you want to make yourself happy, you want to fulfill your desires, and you are prepared to break the laws of Allah. A person who does this, to bas phir you samaj, to ne nada gul diye tin ke liye. Oh, stupid and ignorant person, understand then what you have done, that you have given away a rose, and in place of the rose, you took a thorn. Like a person, a small child, 2-3 year old, he was playing around, his father forgot to lock the safe. And there was a diamond in the safe. A diamond shines, and small children like shining things. The child took the diamond and playing with it outside on the pavement on the road. The ice cream seller going past, he says, oh, this boy got a diamond, he's playing. He understands the boy doesn't know the value of this diamond. So that ice cream vendor tells him, my baby, give me this diamond, I will give you one ice cream. Ice cream has got value in the eyes of that small child. But the diamond, he doesn't know. It's a diamond. Happily, he'll give it away. But he doesn't know in that diamond how many ice cream factories there are in that diamond. And he'll give it away. Like that, we don't know the diamond of Jannah, the diamond of our Iman. And we are prepared to sell our Iman for the petty gains of this dunya. So let us not fool ourselves. So anyway, so the earning of akhirat is very easy. It is permanent. It is forever. So by reading Surah Tabarakalladhi and Alif Lam Mim Sajda between Maghrib and Isha, the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, to learn the surahs and to recite them every night. Further, the surah starts off with Tabarakalladhi. Ba barakat hai wo zaat, blessed is that being. Allah Ta'ala is blessed. So all of us, we want barakat. Commonly people will say, no barakat in money, no barakat in time. That money, the people are earning so much. The wife is earning, the daughters are earning, the whole family is earning. We're doing two jobs, we are doing sideline. But it's not enough. There's no barakat in it. And to understand what is barakat, barakat is not to earn more. Barakat is that whatever you have, it is sufficient for you. How many people who are sitting here will know that how much aren't we earning, but we are still short all the time. If you are still short, that means there isn't barakat in your money. How many people who are running big businesses, earning so much, but they haven't got time to go for umrah, they got time to send somebody else. And they'll have the money to send somebody else, but they themselves are deprived of going to the house of Allah, to go in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to present oneself. Everything else, but they, so there is no end that money. They got time to go to resorts, but, so there isn't barakat in that money. When there is barakat in that money, then you use it for your benefit, and you use it for your akhirat. That is when there is barakat. But if you are just using on your garden, and you are just making your house a show house and a model house, etc., that means there isn't barakat in that money. Barakat is that when it's being used for akhirat, when it is being used for deen, when it is being used for your comfort, not for your for bringing problems on you. Today we, for example, a person wants to make a swimming pool. It's just a few years that swimming pool has got all its attraction. After that, all you do is perhaps the whole season you'll swim once or twice. After that, what you'll do is just go and dip your feet the whole season. After that, you'll just go and sit by the swimming pool. Go and have a cup of tea or go and have some juice and that, and make yourself happy. And after that, you won't even have time to look at the swimming pool. But you'll still maintain it. And the maintenance of a swimming pool is not a small expense. It's a big expense to maintain the swimming pool. And now you'll be slaving for your swimming pool. And you hardly got time, you'll be so busy, you hardly got time to see your swimming pool. All these things are just gimmicks that have got little attraction for a little while. And after that, it is nothing. So this dunya is like that. It fools a person. So in this dunya, you make so much effort for your house, for your car, for everything. So barakat in a person's money is that what he's earning, when he's earning, whatever it is, he's happy. There are so many people who are sitting here who are not earning much, but they are content. They are happy. It's sufficient for them. And they're feeling nice. There is barakat. And that little is sufficient for you. Though you may be earning 8,000 a month, 10,000 a month, whatever you are earning, but it is sufficient for you. And surprising, these people are going for Umrah now in them. Then there is barakat in their money. They want that money, that little bit. They go, Allah gives them tawfiq to help out somebody else also. Forget them begging and asking of other people. They help out somebody. Their earnings is barakat in that money. And the barakat in that money, Allah saves you from illnesses. Major, which cost you 100,000 there on the expense of that one illness. Which will cost you 200,000, 300,000. Allah protects you. Allah protects you from motor car accidents. Allah protects you from robberies, etc. From all these things, Allah protects you. Who suffers from jadu? Rich people. Poor people, you don't see them going to Amils. They haven't got money to go to the Amils. Who is suffering from jadu all the time? And not the men, the women are more suffering from jadu. Imaginary. Most of the jadu is just in the mind. There is no jadu. But they are just because we are somebody, people are jealous of us. It's a status thing to have a jadu problem. And that we are running from Amil to Amil. And all this thing is just all shaitan has got us exactly where he wants us. All these things. So when there isn't barakat in money, money is going to all the amils, going to the doctors, going to lawyers, fighting court cases, etc. When there is barakat in the money, it's not much also, but you see Allah protects you also. And you're having a comfortable, in your home there is happiness, there is joy, everyone is happy. But when there isn't barakat in the home also, that money, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that in those Darul Ulooms where oil dollars have been put, people got money from the Arabs, etc. Money. He says those oil dollars brought fire in those Darul Ulooms. It set fire to the Darul Ulooms. In our homes, that kind of money will bring fire in the homes. There won't be happiness between husband and wife, between parents and children. Fights, problems all the time. This is when there is no barakat. So barakat, where do we get it? Tabarakalladhi. Ba barakat hai wo zaat. We are looking for barakat in our shops. We are looking for barakat in our jobs. We are looking for barakat in rands and cents, in money. Barakat is by Allah Ta'ala. Make your connection with Allah and barakat will come in your life. Barakat will come in your time. Today nobody has got time. Nobody got time to read Tabarakalladhi. Those who got barakat in their time, they are reading two through three suparas. They are making nafil namazes. And their dunya's life is carrying on. They are doing all that barakat in their lives. But those who haven't got barakat in their time, they got no time to even read Surah Yasin. They got no time to read one quarter supara also. One ruku, you ask how many? One person asked Maulana Salim Dhorat of the UK. He said, Maulana, I haven't got time to read Quran. Too busy. What a beautiful answer Maulana gave. It's not that you haven't got time. The importance of Quran is not in your heart. The importance of smoking is in our heart. A person got time to smoke. A person got time to read newspapers. A person got time to watch news on TV. He's got time. But you tell him about Quran? No, I haven't got time. I'm too busy. I haven't got time. It's we haven't got the value. And Allah didn't put barakat in your time. If there's barakat in your time, your time will be spent for deen and for akhirah. And Allah will, don't think you'll be left behind in the dunya. Your dunya will be made also. To give you a broad example, this I'm speaking in our context, but compare us with the non-Muslims. They can't comprehend that a Muslim makes 5 times a day namaz. Whole day is making namaz only. And then whatever money he gets, he's going for umrah. He's going for hajj. He's paying zakat. How is he managing with all this? But we know it's practical. You manage your 5 times namaz. You manage your other things also. You manage your hajj, umrah also. You go in jamaat also. You go khanqah also. You go for umrah also. We can manage it. We don't find a problem. But they just can't conceive it. How is it that these people can manage to make 5 times a day? You must get up so early in the morning, Fajr. And Allahu Akbar, our Hafiz boys, young ones, who get up 4 o'clock in the morning, who get up 5 o'clock in the morning, the whole day, What is this? Allah put barakah. So when we have deen, Allah Ta'ala. So as the non-Muslims, we must understand now in our more detailed things. To read our Quran Sharif, to read our Yasin, to read all our surahs, to make our ibadah. It's not difficult. You get in the group, Allah will put barakat, and your dunya's work will also get done. There isn't any Muslim, I think, in the world who is making five times namaz, so he hasn't got time to earn rosy. But how the barakat Allah is giving the Muslims. With the five times namaz, Ramzan, rozas, these people can't comprehend. How can you keep UK rozas at the moment 20 hours, 18 hour rozas, summer rozas, though the summer is not so severe there, but then too, 20 hours. Hours, 18, they just can't understand. How can you keep roza like this? Not a drop of water over your gullet for 18 hours. Small children keep those rozas. And they keep it with desire and keenness. They keep it. So when Allah puts barakat, all this becomes easy. So how, where do you want to get this barakat? Connect yourself with Allah Ta'ala. And why won't it be so? And what barakat won't Allah Ta'ala give? Tabarakalladhi biyadihil mulk. Like we say, with the cell phone, you got the world in your palm. Hey, everything, you can contact the world. Allah Ta'ala hasn't got a hand and a palm or anything. But Allah says the entire sovereignty is in the hands of Allah. Hey, just like the whole world. Like you got, for example, fowl food, which you are giving to the fowls. Hey, it's in your hand, all the fowls will eat from there. One place, easily. And you scatter it. One is running this side, one is running that side. And the nature of fowls, it's got enough, but it will chase away the others. Won't allow them to eat. Always, and what it's got, it chases away the others. This is man's nature. If Allah gives it to you in your hand, and it's in the hand of Allah, you go to Allah. And if Allah scatters your rosy in the world, now you are going Hong Kong for a meeting, now you are going for your shopping to China, now you are going to Dubai, you haven't got time to rest, you haven't got time for your family, you haven't got time for yourself. لَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't become like those people who forget Allah. Then we make it for them such that they forget themselves. Now you are earning, for what you are earning, you haven't got time to sleep also. You are going this meeting, you are going that meeting, whole time. You haven't got time for namaz now. You haven't got time for tilawat now. You are so busy. Hey, so this is when Allah takes out that barakat. And if you go to Allah, the whole world, the entire sovereignty is in the hands of Allah, so to say, and you'll get everything in one place. And if Allah scatters it out for you, you'll run the whole world, you'll work morning to night, and you still won't have sufficient also. So if you want this barakat, make your connection with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is that great being that the entire sovereignty in His hand, بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. And not only that, Allah's being is so great. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah's power and qudrat is over everything. There are many things which for us as human beings are impossible. But for Allah there is nothing impossible. For example, if you take our own eyes, that with which we are looking. Yusuf is here, he explained to me, the optician. I'm not advertising for Yusuf, but give him business, inshallah. So the eye that looks, which is, it's not the whole eye that looks, the most central part, the pupil, that is the thing. And everyone has got different color eyes, brown, black, green, blue, gray. People have got different color eyes. But it's not the blue and the green and the black that sees, it is the pupil that sees. And everyone's pupil is black. And in darkness, in black, how can you see? When there is blackness, darkness, how can you see? But Allah's qudrat, that in darkness He kept light. And for you to see, Allah Ta'ala kept your eyes, to look, Allah kept it in blackness. For Allah, there is nothing impossible. This glass here, it's got a glass at the bottom also, so no water falls out. But if I have to turn the whole glass around, all the water will fall out. No, nothing. Because on top there is no cover. The sea which is in the south of the world, Cape Town, Australia, South America, the whole world, everywhere where the bottom part is. And we all have been sometime or the other, or we know to see there is no cover, glass cover holding the water up, or no plastic holding it up. Whose qudrat is it that that water which is at the bottom, like turning this glass upside down with no cover, and not a drop falls out? The whole sea is like that. At the bottom of the earth, the whole sea is at the bottom. And there is no plastic holding the water up, no glass holding it up. Whose command? One command of Allah. What is the Allah's qudrat? And if you make your contact with that Allah, what qudrat won't you get? The whole, all the feats and the great achievements of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, wa qatala Dawood Jaluta, Dawood alayhi salam, how he killed Goliath, the big giant, how he killed him. All the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the great feats, the battle of Badr, all this, what was it? Connection with Allah ta'ala. And with connection with Allah, what Allah gave them? Sulaiman alayhi salam, his son Dawood alayhi salam, Rabbi habli mulka la yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di. Oh Allah, give me such a kingdom from the barakat of Allah ta'ala, which nobody ever will have such a kingdom. Today, America can claim their great achievements, or Russia, or whatever in the world. All the time they used to be superpowers, and this carries on. They get toppled, others come. But whatever they got, nobody has got that great achievement which Allah had blessed Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam. That the jinnat were imparted with their army. Hey, that the winds were under their control. They understood the language of the birds and the animals. Who can have a kingdom like that? Allah. And the aeroplane of Sulaiman alayhi salam, which is roughly 6,000 years ago, it used to be bigger than our jumbo jets. And faster than our fastest aeroplanes used to go. Huduha shahru warawa huha shah. One morning, one evening, a month's journey they used to cover. Sulaiman alayhi salam used to make Zuhar Nama, Fajr one place, Zuhar another place, Asr another place, Maghrib another place, flying, and used to make different places of the earth, used to make his namazes. So this is what? That barakat. So that is the great power of Allah and the great. So all we have to do is connect us. So great is Allah ta'ala. Also see that this earth which is round, look at the qudrat of Allah. A ball is round, and the world is round, oval or shape. So the people who are on top, it's quite understood, their legs are at the bottom, heads are on top, the cars, the wheels are at the bottom, the buses, the trains, everything, it's understood. But at the bottom, what is happening? Where are the wheels at the bottom of the earth? Of a ball, a round ball, on top, the people who are walking, the cars, everything, the feet are at the bottom, everything. But at the bottom, the feet are upside down. The feet are on top. The trains are moving with their wheels on top. The cars are moving with their wheels on top. But did we ever hear big, everyone phoning, sending WhatsApp that you must watch TV tonight, that you'll see it in Cape Town, people are walking upside down. Or the cars are moving upside down. But that is a reality. But Allah's qudrat that He doesn't make you see it like that. You see that it is the right way up. Nobody can do this. Understand who is Allah Ta'ala. Allah is that great being that has got this وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. What is the great power of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? If you're a person here, if you have to walk on the ceiling, with your legs on top, who can manage that? With trapeze also, you're walking on a rope, a tight rope, very thin rope, but you are walking on that rope, you are trained. But who can walk upside down on the ceiling? And at the bottom of the world, people are walking upside down. And if we have to do that, what will happen? Every person will just be falling out. The water will be falling down. Everything will fall down. And how is it being kept up? By the command of Allah Ta'ala. One person with a scientific mind, very educated person, university, big degrees. So he said, Maulana, all these things you are saying, you haven't got knowledge, you don't understand. This is all by magnetic forces. And this is all by atmospheric pressure that the people are being kept up. So Maulana had a walking stick, he took it, he gave that person one shot on his head. So that person said, that's your pulse problems, you've got no logical answers to give us. No answers that we can understand. And you resort to violence, you just hit and that. So he said, I didn't hit you. He said, Maulana, you're lying also, sir. So big beard, so big kurta, and you're lying also. He says, no, I didn't hit you. He said, then how, what happened? He said, the magnet in your head, pull the magnet in the stick and the stick came onto your head. And you must make shukar, you just got a small magnet in your head. If you had a big magnet, it should pull the stick with so much force that your head should split into two. So then he realized it's not magnetic forces, it's not atmospheric pressure, it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. And as Allah Ta'ala has made this world, and by means of atmospheric pressure is Allah's command. That also man didn't make it. That's also the command of Allah. Allah used those means. In Canada, in Toronto, they got a science, something there. And all the, about science a whole. What is that?
Scientific center
they've got. And at the time we went, mashallah, it was an Islamic week. And all the inventions of the Muslims, they were presenting it. And it was very surprising. Otherwise, normally, they don't show the world what Muslims have done in the world. All the Muslims in inventions, etc., quite a bit of it they were showing it there. Anyway, there also they had one place where they showed how the earth is moving around. And they got atmospheric pressure. They can adjust the atmospheric pressure. They got magnets. They can do it. That nothing is holding the earth. But they got a rod holding the earth and moving around the sun. So if it's magnetic forces, they can, with magnetic forces and with atmospheric pressure, they can adjust it. But they can't even do that just in a showcase. Where in the whole world are they going to do it? This is Allah Ta'ala. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah Ta'ala, not all that. For what is all this great qudrat of Allah? And why must you make your connection with Allah? Not just for barakat to live it up in the dunya. You got lot time on your, you got time of leisure. You got time for pleasure. You got money. You got money to spend for your leisure and pleasure, all that. Not for that. الَّذِي خَلَقَ بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. This is the most important thing. That Allah Ta'ala has created mortal also, and Allah has created life. Mort also is not in the hands of mankind. Many a time in Guinness Book of Records, this was some time ago, now I don't know latest reports, but one person, a couple, who tried and commit suicide 28 times and they didn't succeed. So committing mort is not, you can commit suicide. But death is now, you can try to commit suicide. Death is not in your hands. And what if you go and read all that up, you'll be surprised what and what they did. They have to die. But mort was not written. They did not die. Mort is how many people overdose of tablets, how many people cutting their veins, etc. But if mort is not written, you won't die. In India, in Delhi, in the whole world, there are famous places where people go to commit suicide. So here was a very high bridge. And who wanted to commit suicide, they would go on this bridge and throw themselves down from there to commit suicide. So one person who got tired of all the long queues in India, railway station long queue, bus stand long queue, wherever you go, traffic jam. He became tired of all this. He said, I'd rather die, I can't take all this. He went to this place to go and commit suicide. He found such a long queue there also, that he changed his mind also. That even just to commit suicide, the queue was so long. So the mort is not in our hands. Allah is the one who has created mort. And when you don't want to die, and nobody wants you to die, if mort is written for you, then you, what is it? Moving your legs together. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقِ. Everyone, the doctor is trying their best. Not a doctor, the whole team of doctors. And from around the world, the doctors are all talking and on their phones, etc. What to do, how to save this person now. The family is trying, everyone. But when mort is written, nobody can stop that ruh. And that ruh will go out. So Allah is the creator of mort. Mort is a creation of Allah. It's not a natural phenomena that now you became old, you died. You got a bullet shot and you died. How many people pumped with 20 bullets and they live? Another person, somebody just showed him a gun and he died. It is not in your hands. It is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah is that one, Alladhi khalaq al-maut. And hayat also is in the hands of Allah. How many husbands and wives, whole life they are meeting. If we can get one child, there, Allahu Akbar. This Sarkozy, who was the president of France, and who banned the niqab for women in France. He had no children. He went to India after his term of office for a holiday with his wife, and they had no children. And a woman particularly really wants children. Man can still make sabr that I don't get children, it's alright. But a woman, she wants children. So when they went there in India, you have lot of these bawas sitting on the street. And they specialize also. There's bawas who specialize. Somebody in this, somebody in that. So this one bawa, he used to specialize that you definitely get children. If you come and take my treatment, you get children. All amils, all who give treatment, etc. So she wanted to go, and when she went, he said, I don't see woman without niqab. You have to wear niqab if you want to come to me. So her husband just didn't allow it. In my country, I made a law, no niqab. And my own wife, who's not a Muslim, but a woman, when she wants children, she won't. And you can rule the world, you can't rule your wife. At home, your wife will rule you. You can rule the whole world with the iron first, but at home, your wife will rule you. So she said, I want a child, I'm going to put a niqab. So she put, and these were high profile people, media with them, newspapers, me, TV, in the whole, all India's newspapers it came, that he bans niqab in his own country, and yet he allows his wife to wear niqab. She went, and they got a child after that. Whose child it was, that whether it was his child or Bawa's child, that Allah knows better. But he got a child after that. So anyway, hayat, life also, is only in the hands of Allah. When Allah wants to give, how many have got only boys and they crying, making dua, Ya Allah, one daughter we can get. How many only have got daughters, if we can get one boy, how much they cry, Ya Allah, they go to people for duas, if we can get one boy. But it is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ Allah Ta'ala create يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَذُكُورَ Man or woman he gives, and who he wants to, and he makes them aqima, they're barren, no children whatsoever. That is all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah has created for the reason of mort and life. Allah, all this whole qudrat and the exercise and the setting of the world and the mountains and the seas and the rising of the sun and the coming of summer and winter, and all these things are happening so that we prepare for mort. Allah gave us hayat, life, to prepare for mort. But sadly, forget people who are Muslims, here in out, but out of the masjid. Forget the people who are not Muslims, who are non-Muslims. For them, maqsad is dunya. We who are sitting here, ask ourselves, how much of us are concerned to prepare for akhirah, for our mort? And how much are worried about dunya? All dunya's things, everything must be in order. Our car must get serviced on time. Our payments must be made on time. Our water and lights must be paid. Telephone, palma, everything. But who is worried for the biggest thing, for mort? And preparation of mort. If Malakul Mort has to come now, really ask ourselves, are we ready for that? How many gunas we have committed? And gunas, to give an example, is like your car, you got the top of the range, best motor car, latest model, but there is a blockage in your fuel pipe, there is some dirt. Petrol is not coming through from your fuel tank to the carburetor. There is a blockage. Gunas are a blockage in our life. If your one drop of blood in the human body travels 100,000 kilometers a day. One drop of blood in the human body travels 100,000 kilometers a day. It's traveling safely. You are alive. You are 20 years and you are alive. 20 years times 12 months times 30 days. How much hasn't that drop of blood traveled? And no service as such. No maintenance as such. And the minute it gets stuck, a puncture it gets, or it runs out of fuel, there you got a heart attack. there you got a brain, you got brain hemorrhage, you got a, now you are, you got a stroke, now you are paralyzed. Just that one drop. So what is Allah's qudrat? How it is moving and how Allah is keeping us alive. For a person to be alive is a miracle. For a baby to be made is a miracle. For a baby to be born is a miracle. To live for 1 minute is a miracle. We are living for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. We don't see the miracle of Allah Ta'ala. So this hayat Allah has given us, this great, great. We are surrounded by all targets of mort all the time. As we are sitting here, hey, we don't know what and what can happen to us. Hey, one drop of blood can get stuck somewhere, blockage. Hey, there you got a heart problem, you can die from that heart attack. There you got a problem with your, with in your brains, your breath. That is, we are breathing, we don't even think about it. But just that occasion comes when you can't breathe. If ever we experience that, you're gasping for breath. You see mort in front of you. That's not in your hands. That's not in the hands of the pulmonologist. That's not in the hands of everyone. It's solely in the hands of Allah. We are faced with so many. Yeah, as we are sitting, one person can come and just shoot at random. It's happening in the world all the time. A gathering there is, and person just comes and shoots 10 people dead, 20 people dead. Who can? What security we got? Who can protect us? It's only Allah Ta'ala. Anything, one nerve can twitch. And as we sit here, how many times it has happened, the person can't get up after that. He's paralyzed for life now. Hey, so it's not in our hands. This whole, all this that we are still living is nothing but the great qudrat and the mercy of Allah. And if you make your connection with Allah and get barakat from Allah Ta'ala, barakat in your health, barakat in your wealth, barakat in your time, barakat in your relations with your families, all this is in there. And Allah is offering it. This is what Allah is offering in the surah. But we haven't got time, the 3 minutes to read Surah Tabarakalladhi. Forgetting the reality of the surah, just reciting it, that is a starting point. But to get the reality of it, just to say atom bomb is not going to kill one fly also. If you want an atom bomb that can do the damage which an atom bomb, what a long procedure it is. It's not just by saying the word atom bomb. So just reading Tabarakalladhi, the deen has got so much of barakat in it. For example, if somebody have to tell you wazifa to read shaitan 100 times, shaitan, 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 what you going to get? You'll go out of your iman also. But if you read shaitan in the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Now for shaitan, 5 letters, 50 sawabs. That is the barakat. Qarun, Haman, all this big enemies of Allah Ta'ala. Like that you read tasbih, Haman, 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 you lose your iman. But you read in the Quran Sharif, Haman, you get 50 sawabs. So this is the barakat, that even the words have got barakat. One person, a king, who had a problem, his wind of his stomach was not going out, and when it gets stuck, when your stool gets stuck, your urine gets stuck, the wind gets stuck, is a very big problem. He tried everything, it did not help. His big doctor, who was Abu Ali Sina, Avicenna, which is known, who is the father of modern medicine till today in the West. He also treated, nothing helped. He called his Sheikh Abul Hasan Kharkani Rahmatullah Ali. He came, he read little bit of Quran Sharif, he blew on the stomach of the king, and then the wind started. This doctor first said, how can this help? Just by reading and blowing, I know his problem is inside. He needs this medication, he needs this medication. It must affect his bladder, it must affect this, it must to go inside and go and do the job. This just blowing from outside. So he looked sideways at him and he told him that till today I thought you're a very learned man, but today I see you such a stupid idiot donkey. You know nothing. The king's physician, in front of the king to be insulted like that, he couldn't tolerate it. He became so angry, and he found all, what you call on the forehead? Frowns on the forehead, and his temperature increased, and his whole body system changed also, and started sweating also. So he told him, I only told you, you're a donkey, you're an idiot, I didn't read ayats of the Quran, and I didn't still blow on you. Just these words have got so much effect on you. So the words of Allah, and you blow on water, you blow on a person, but we don't realize the qudrat of Allah. We know the qudrat of what our computer can do. We know what a ball pen can do, how it can write. Click it here and it will write. We click it this side, it writes blue. Click it that side, it writes black. All that we know. But Allah's qudrat we haven't seen till today. And Allah's qudrat is the most evident, and we are the most blind, we don't see it. And I'm not talking of people who are outside the masjid, we who are here, we are not seeing the qudrat of Allah. And for that, you have to make your connection with some Allah wala. Someone who has seen the qudrat of Allah, and he will let you also see the, and then yourself you will start seeing the qudrat of Allah. And when you will see it, you yourself will be shocked. When I was a young boy, my eyes were weak. I went to Yusuf's father, Hassan Bay Marhum, Allah grant all our Marhum in Jannat. And when he test your eyes, they put that all other, and they put all the lenses, how it looks also. Frightening. He told me to go outside by the door and look. I was shocked. The world looks so beautiful. You can, everything is defined. Because when you have, your eyes are weak and your glasses are off, blurred everything. People are sitting, but you can't make out anyone also. You put your glasses, oh, what a difference. Wallah, when you get our spiritual eyes, at the moment we're seeing the dunya is a blurred dunya. We're not seeing the qudrat of Allah. And get your spiritual eyes fixed up. Get the eyes of the heart fixed up. And you'll see Allah's qudrat. And you'll be shocked yourself. I'm in a new world. I didn't know that this world is like this. Allah's qudrat is like this. So Allah is alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. That all this Allah has done to test you and see who of you do the best of us. A'mal. So Allah doesn't want to see your mal. Allah wants to see your a'mal. One brother who likes money, he joined the jamaat, there is the right jamaat, tabligh jamaat. Because they make always announcement, they say, Hamari deen, dunya aur akhirat ki kamyabi, a'mal mein hai. That mal must come, wealth must come. Hey, so it's not a'mal, it is a'mal. Hey, in a'mal is our kamyabi, not on a'mal, mal aw, more mal. So he say this is the right jamaat, where it teaches you, you must get more. Today many people like those mashayikh who tell you must go university, send your children, don't keep them backwards. There is destruction. If we can understand it, we think there is success. There is total destruction. Our success is in business. And after business, it is in farming. Our business success is not in profession. That's not my subject also. But today, how many mashayikh also, and how many ulama encourage. And there, one doctor, a doctor himself, wanted to admit his son in a university. When he went to the university, he said, I must pay such an exorbitant amount in fees to send my child direct to Jahannam. He said, I can't do that. When he saw the environment of the university, he said, they're sending them to Jahannam. Today we take pride in it. Well, for our children to go for extra classes, for ballet dancing, for music. And we haven't got time for them for Quran Sharif, to send them to madrasa. This is you making your Jannat for them. And you are depriving them. What are you good parents to your children? What feelings have you got to your children that you are sending them one-way ticket to Jahannam? And you feel that you are doing your duty and you are depriving them of deen. Deen is the most akhlaq, character. And we have seen such children who not only threatened but who took the lives of their parents because they don't know what the value of the parents are. They got no qadr of what the parents are. Hey, Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak Rahmatullah Alayh, some of us might still remember him. He was a great alim, but he was like a modernist type and a little free going, easy going he was. Anyway, in Lodium, where he was based for many years, for the old Pretoria Lodium, a very rich family were close with him. So the father passed away. They phoned Maulana. He went immediately and he found the old man has passed away. He asked the children, did you read Kalima for him? There were four sons. All were present. They asked, what is Kalima? So he said that your father gave you your education. He gave you businesses. He got you married. He gave you houses. But he didn't give you Kalima. And the time when he needed Kalima on his dying bed, you didn't know, so you couldn't give him Kalima. So if we are worried only of our children for their dunya and dunya's education and no deen, they won't help us even at the time. And mostly it's the children who are close to a person. In the hospital, who stays by you? Your family. But if they don't know Kalima, how are they going to give you Kalima at that time to read Kalima. At home, if you are dying, your family is close to you. And if they know Kalima and they know importance, they will read Kalima for you. They will read Yasin Sharif. But you are more giving more importance to all other things. And what we're giving importance to? To read from grade one. Right through till university to read from the wrong side. And the right side that you read, Quran Sharif, Dini Kitabs, you read from the right. This you read from the left side. And every sentence and every page also, you're reading from the left all the time. If you read Quran, you read from the right. Everything is on the right. So if you are reading whole day your books and all your sentences from the left side, how are you going to come right? You can't come right. Read from the right, you will come right. If you read from the left, how are you going to come right? And this is so much entrenched in us, we just can't get it out of us. May Allah give us understanding. I'll just add this little, perhaps it can help somebody. Maybe about 25 years ago or so, 30 years, we were in Malaysia. And at that time, one person we met, he said, the biggest mistake we made here in Malaysia, we went into professions, all academic studies, university. He said, in the process, listen to it carefully, there is not from a dini point of view, there is from a fully dunya point of view. He said, we went all into professions, the business sector got empty, the Chinese filled it in immediately. And who rules a country? It's not the professional, it's not the politician, the businessman rules the country. The politician is only used by the businessman. If you want to go and study this and see the plastic packets that were not allowed, it wasn't a politician's decision. It's the businessman's decision. How many things the business people, what they want, all the products which they want to sell, they just get around the politicians over a match of golf or something, or over a holiday, and they change his mind and they just fill his pockets and he makes the law. But he's the businessman who runs the country. So he said the Chinese came in, and it took us a long, long time to gradually come back. So don't let us be so foolish. Our forefathers who came, they weren't worried about schooling and all that. They did business. And the businessman, Allah Akbar, from one subject to another. Remember, from the beginning of Islam till today, the main supporters of deen are the businessmen. From Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. We were in Medina Sharif, and Sheikh Awama told me that one great difference between us, the Arabs, and you Gujarati people is this. That you Gujarati people, wherever you went in the world, the ulama followed behind. And they looked after, they made musalla, they made maktab, and they protected their deen, and Muslims flourished. Whether it is the Caribbean islands, whether it is America, whether it is England, whether it is Australia, whether it's New Zealand, South Africa, anywhere in the world, where the ulama followed, and deen became alive, and Allah gave them so much of a position. And on the other hand, where the Arabs went in the world, the ulama did not follow them. So they got lost in dunya, and they lost their deen, and they are lost people. This difference. I gave thought to it, and when he came here, I told him, Sheikh, what you told me, I agree partly, but what amendment? That the ulama didn't follow the public. It is the deeni people, the wealthy people who call the ulama. Come here, teach our children, make imamat. Always, every community you will find that those people who are deeni inclined, and they were business people, they called the ulama. Alhamdulillah, the ulama followed suit. They came and they looked after, and our deen got looked after. Today we want to change the whole setup. We want to take our children and put them in professions. And we are leaving the business sectors empty. Who is coming in? We know everywhere who is coming in when we go out of the business field. That is our field, business. And in the hadith it has come, the most barakat is in business and is in farming. The businessman rules the country, the farmer feeds the country. If those two keys are in your hand, you rule that whole place. And that is what our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us. So anyway, we have to prepare for akhirat. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allahu Akbar, there can be no greater kitab than the Quran. After analyzing us like this, and if we realize our folly and our faults, and we ask for Allah for forgiveness, you want your treatment, Allah says, my treatment is freely available. I'll treat treat you also, and I will give you barakat also. The treatment, you just ask for forgiveness. Remember that haram insurance companies or penal beaters can say your car is a write-off. There is no chance. It came in an accident and it's like a sardine tin. There is no chance that that car can be repaired. By Allah, no matter how terrible your condition comes, Allah will never say you're a write-off. No matter how low you are, a person who killed 99 people, a person who whatever, as we are sitting now, no matter what gunas we can have on our shoulders, but just make sincere tawbah. Before you get up from this majlis, you're a wali of Allah. Hey, Allah has given us tawbah and istighfar. Allah has given us the kalima, la ilaha illallah. This changes a kafir into a Muslim in 1 second. A kafir, 99 years old kafir, he reads, la ilaha illallah. And from Jahannam, he goes to Jannah. And from the anger of Allah, he goes into the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. From in the list of being amongst the kafirs, he becomes a Muslim. The same is with tawbah, istighfar. Without even moving your lips, in your heart, make sincere tawbah. Ya Allah, I beg of you, I've done mistakes, a big, big mistake. Forgive me, O Allah. Immediately you become a wali of Allah. Even if you're a person who hasn't got a beard, and by making tawbah, the beard is not going to grow immediately. But the guna of not keeping a beard is Allah removes it. By tawbah, istighfar. So he is, wa huwa al-aziz al-ghafur. And Allah is aziz, the most powerful. He overpowers everyone and everything. And everyone and everything together. Forget overpowering Allah cannot dent Allah one bit also. Allah's power is so great. And in spite of that, He is so forgiving also. So take advantage. Our Shaykh gives us beautiful example. That in the jungle, if the lion is, if a rabbit is sleeping, and a lion is running, and the lion passes by the rabbit, and puts his leg on the paw of the rabbit, on his body little bit, and the rabbit wakes up and he sees, oh, it's Mr. Lion. And he says, Mr. Lion, no problem, today I make you maaf. What can the rabbit harm the lion? What is his maaf? What value has his maaf got? But if the lion was sleeping, and the rabbit was running, and he jumped over the lion, and the lion opened his eyes, Mr. Rabbit, like that you hardly want samosa for my breakfast, but today I make you maaf, you can go. How much mustn't you appreciate? Allah says, Qudrat is so much. And you did so much wrong to Allah. Not only put a leg on Allah. How much of wrong? You just ask for maaf. Allah makes you maaf. So the prescription is so clear. Make tawbah. And Allah, who has got so much qudrat, but is prepared to forgive. And when you make tawbah, just like that person who killed 99 people, then he was advised, you go to the town which is called Nasara, where there are pious people. Don't go back to Fajara. So make your contact with some Allah wala. Make a proper contact. Keep contact with some Allah wala. So that our tawbah is not just fragile, that breaks again so easy. Our tawbah is not temporary, just for now. And before we out of the door of the masjid, we forgot everything again. Keep your contact with some Allah wala, so it can be maintained, it can be revised, it can be kept up all the time. And once Allah's forgiveness had come, and then Allah's mercies come down, Allah is the only being that after making maaf, He even showers you with mercy. Right. If a person has committed a capital crime, and death sentence has been given to him, he pleads to state president, to prime minister for clemency. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. I'll never do it. The most they will do is forgive him. Okay. We will now, that sentence, we will take it away. But never ever will they say that now that you have asked for forgiveness, we will give you 10 filling stations also. And we will give you 20 blocks of flats also. And we'll give you 20 farms and a mine, gold mine also. They will never. But Allah, when He makes maaf, He converts all your sins into good deeds. And He showers His mercy upon you. And then see the barakat that will come in your life. So the solution is very clear. What a beautiful ayah. And then what to say of the whole surah. That we just make connection with Allah. Starting point is to make tawbah and istighfar. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Make our connection. And to make connection with Allah, you need somebody who will be able to connect you. You go to that person for the connection. You get your connection. Then just say, barakat in your life. Barakat in your health. You will be surprised that what barakat Allah has given in my money. Little money, but so much gets done. And barakat in my time. How much? Allahu Akbar. Malana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was about 80, 85. He passed away. A life that many people has got. But over 1,000 kitabs he wrote. Over thousands and thousands of murids, great, great ulama who opened darulums, who opened khankas. One man in a small village of Thana Bhavan, his noor and his face is in the whole world today. One Darul Uloom Dioban, small little place, in fact, where all the dirt of Dioban used to be thrown there. From there, Allah Ta'ala took the light and noor of hadith to the four corners of the world. When Allah gives barakat, you will be shocked yourself. And after you die, you will still see what and what Allah. So we need that barakat. The starting point is tawbah and istighfar. The middle point is make connection with some Allah Ta'ala, Allah Wala. And the end, you will see the results of Allah's barakat. Our life, short lives, Allah will put barakat in. Our wealth, our time, may Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Every Monday night, Mullah Abdul Rahman Lambat Sahib has a majlis here. Try and attend the majlis here also. On a Tuesday night, we have in Darul Uloom. Try and attend there also, wherever the programs are. Other ulama, other mashayikh, etc. have got programs. Connect ourselves. Don't just stay on our own. The lone sheep gets eaten up by the wolf. They come under the protection of somebody. And then we will be safeguarded. Don't remain on our own. And don't think we are too big and we don't need somebody above us, and I'm good enough for myself. There is destruction in that. Humble ourselves and then see, inshallah, what guidance we will get. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Oh, ya Allah, oh Allah, accept whatever has been said. Give us tawfiq to make amal on it, oh Allah. Our short lives that we have got, oh Allah, you give us the tawfiq to prepare for the eternal life of the akhirat. Let us realize dunya and everything of dunya is going to be left behind. What is going to matter is our qabr and our akhirat. Grant this reality to us. Let us not be fooled and deceived by the glitter and glamour, by the temporary deception of this dunya. Let us prepare for our eternal life of Akhirah. Oh Allah, you be kind to us. Forgive us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us get connected with you. Connect us with some Allah Wala, and by which we can get connected with you, and grant us barakat in our time, barakat in our wealth, barakat in our health, barakat in all our matters, oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept us and forgive us, oh Allah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.